Very much, Kyle. I appreciate that. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 28 and also get 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and Isaiah chapter 28. I want to welcome those that join us via the internet. I'm always thankful for that, and I did want to mention to those that have joined us via the internet and also those that may be on Facebook Live. The last few weeks, we've been using both things for our messages, and we've gotten a really good response from being on Facebook, and I appreciate those that listen. We will not be broadcasting tonight. We're not going to be having our services here at Grace Bible Church because of the impending weather that's supposed to hit here, and we certainly want to keep in prayer those that have been affected. It's been a rough season for hurricanes, and still out in Houston, many people are out, still not back in their homes, and then the Florida one, and then the one this weekend. And of course, there's a lot of flooding that went along with that. Fortunately, it's rather fast moving, and so it's not as bad as some of them have been, but they are predicting for it to come right over us this afternoon about between 5 and 7. With 50-mile-an-hour winds, and there could be some power outages and so forth. And so we'll not be having our evening services tonight. I want to talk to you about something today that I think is very important, and I want to start by reading in Isaiah 28, verse 9 and 10. The Bible says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little." Those are two great verses in relation to the importance of the Word of God. The question was asked, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? And that's what we're going to talk about today, is doctrine and the importance of sound doctrine. And the verse says, "Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast." The Bible talks about the milk of the Word, and it also talks about the meat of the Word. Paul said to the Corinthians, "I have not fed you with milk for hither, or I have not fed you with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it." He said, "I fed you with milk." And so there is the milk of the Word, there's the meat of the Word, and that's what we talk about, that's what we're talking about when we talk about doctrine. The word doctrine itself simply means a body of beliefs. And generally, when we talk about it, it's a body of beliefs about God, about Christ, about the church, and the things of God. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we find the source of sound doctrine. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, notice, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, notice, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, what we find is that God has provided for us that which we need to function as saints of the Most High God. He has provided for us what we need to function as members of His body. And what He has provided is His Word. The reason that we maintain a church and Bible studies and we preach and we teach is because that is God's design for the edification of the believer. But in addition to the teaching and the preaching, there must be that personal Bible study, here a little, there a little, and it's a continual process of learning the Word of God. I've had more than one person tell me over the years, and this is not saying anything about me, it's just a statement that people make. But when somebody new is introduced to the Word of God, like in a Bible study, I've had this happen more than once. And people hear the Word of God rightly divided, and they begin to understand that. And I've had, at different times, people say, I wish I could just open my head and pour in everything you know. And I said, well, that wouldn't take very long. Because, listen, folks, I don't consider myself to be a scholar at all, a particular Bible scholar, but I will say this, I do pride, the only thing I take pride in is that I do try to believe the Word means what it says. And over the years, I have learned about some truths, and hopefully you have as well. But the majority of the truth that you learn is going to come through studying the Word. But there's also that need to be taught and to have instruction. And that's why we're here. That's what we do. That's why we're on the internet. That's why we're preaching the Word right divided. It's not just because it's a hobby horse and we think we're smarter than somebody else. There's a reason for believing sound doctrine. And that was really brought home to me. Brother Richard Miles this morning brought me an article, as he does from time to time, and I appreciate these because I don't take any newspapers. But this is from the Daily Citizen News. And there's a fellow in there that has an article. Is this every week, Richard, that he has this article? It's called Angel's Food. Now, after reading it, I'm convinced it may be an angel, but it's probably not the angel of the Lord. As a matter of fact, as I was reading this, the thought that came to mind was 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look back there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I'm going to be very plain about this because this man is teaching doctrine that is damnable doctrine. And you know what? Every bit of it comes from the Bible. Now I want you to think about that. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says in verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Well, the Bible says they are transformed into an angel of light. Anybody that is teaching a work salvation is not a minister of God. They may call themselves that, but they are preaching false doctrine that will condemn people and cause people to end up in hell. And as I said, the bad thing about that is they take it right out of the Scripture. But you know what they fail to do? They fail to rightly divide the Word of truth. Now, I want you to understand that I had already planned on preaching what I'm going to preach. This was just a little bit dessert. I mean, I didn't just take this article and decide to preach this message. As a matter of fact, I told you about this before, but years ago, when I first started preaching, I always been an early riser, and I'd get up about 6 o'clock like I did for work, 5:30 or 6. And so generally what I would do is turn on the TV. I've always been one that I do better studying if there's noise and stuff in the background than just sitting in a quiet room. And so I would turn on the TV. Well, you know what's on Sunday morning. Preachers. And what I found I was doing, by the time I listened to 2 or 3 of them, that's what I went to church and preached on. And I was preaching against what they taught, and nobody else knew what I was talking about. And I thought, I got to quit doing that. So after a while, I just made it a practice to never turn on a TV preacher on Sunday morning. That's probably a good practice for most people. This man writes this article, and it's called Angels Food Devotionals. And the title of this is Jesus' Obedience Religion. And he's the pastor of a place called Temple of the Lord. He said, whereas many, and I'm just taking parts of it out, but it doesn't change the context of it. Whereas many in our generation preach a person is saved only by believing, We at Temple of the Lord do not. Temple of the Lord rather teaches from Hebrews 5:9 that all sinners are saved only when they obey every salvation instruction that Jesus commands every sinner in the world to be saved as taught in His Great Commission, the world evangelism, as recorded in Mark 16:15-16. Now what he's referring there to is those that believe and baptized shall be saved. He goes on to say, for any salvation doctrine to be of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, there can't be even one scriptural indictment against it. John 2:23-24 teaches that many only believed in the name of Jesus for their salvation without obeying all of His other salvation instructions. Now, note, listen to this. Jesus refused to commit Himself to their bogus, faith-only salvation. Faith-only salvation is bogus, according to what this man says. Because they refused to obey all His other salvation instructions as recorded in Matthew 16:15-16. Now what I would love to ask the gentleman at this point is, how are you doing with Matthew chapter 19? A man came to Jesus and said, what must I do to have eternal life? I would say that's a salvation scripture. What must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus said, keep the commandments. He said, I've kept the commandments. And then He said, then what you need to do, and go and sell what thou hast and give to the poor. And as I was teaching this past Thursday night, there is nobody on planet Earth that says they're following the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, actually following it. Because they're told that if they don't sell what they have, they cannot be part of the kingdom of God. Thus, in Acts chapter 2, 3, and 4, people are selling what they had, laid at the apostles' feet, and I guarantee you, this man has not, and he hadn't obeyed Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus said, lay not up for yourself treasure on earth. I guarantee he's got a savings account, and probably a 401k, and everything else that goes along with it. He's a false prophet, a false teacher. Oh, he uses the scripture. Now, I'm going to take time to read this, and I want you to listen. It's going to take a few minutes. Another great importance to this devotional that he's written here. Well, let me just skip. I'm going to skip this part. He's talking about the baptism in Acts chapter 19. Where a man hadn't been baptized right. Remember Acts chapter 19? Said, I've not heard of the baptism, and so forth. So what this man says in relation to all that. When I finished studying all the baptismal doctrines presented in the scripture references in this devotional many decades ago, I realized my previous baptism totally disbelieved, even angrily rejected, all the baptismal scriptures, word for word, as written in the Bible. During a weekday, when all alone inside my church office, I fill the baptistry in our church and baptize myself according to the baptismal scriptures in this devotion. Can somebody tell me one verse in the Bible where anybody was ever instructed to baptize herself? Boy, he came up with it. After a thorough study of all the baptismal doctrines, he decided he'd baptize himself. I find the Spirit baptism, I find fire baptism, I find water baptism, but there was always a baptizer. I hope I don't sound like I'm getting upset. Because I am. When I finished studying all the baptismal doctrines presented in the scripture references in this devotional many decades ago, I realized my previous baptism totally disbelieved, even angrily rejected all the baptismal scriptures word for word as written in the Bible. During a weekday when all alone inside my church office, I fill the baptistry in our church and baptize myself according to the baptismal scriptures in this devotional. When I brought myself up from the baptismal waters, I had someone inside me that my former bogus faith-only salvation never gave me, including all my previous doctrines were drastically changed. All of that in a tank of water. I take a bath every day, folks, and it ain't never changed anything doctrinally about me. I was baptized and didn't even know any doctrine at that time, really. Now, we read stuff like that, and it flies all over us, but there's a reason for all of this. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. In that same letter to Timothy, Paul said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, Paul mentions the word doctrine time and time again. But when we begin to read the Bible, we find out that doctrine is specific to certain areas of God's dealing with mankind. For example, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in the earthly teachings of Christ, what do we have? We have what's called Christ doctrine. Look back in Matthew chapter 7. By the way, there was a man who wrote a book years ago called The Gospel According to Jesus. This man teaches Lordship salvation. The reason he teaches Lordship salvation is because he's reading the Gospel according to Jesus. That's the gospel of the kingdom. It's not the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of Christ, the gospel of grace of God, was not made known until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul. And so in Matthew chapter 7, notice what Jesus says there in verse 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his" what? "Doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Look over in Matthew chapter 22. In Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verse 29. "Jesus answered and said unto them, You do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry, nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard him, they were astonished at his doctrine." You see, Jesus Christ is teaching these Pharisees some things contrary to that which they believed, and he based it upon his doctrine. Look over in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. In Mark 1, verse 21, "And they went unto Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out." They were astonished at what? His doctrine. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you have the doctrine of Jesus Christ. in Mark chapter 11. You see, the study I brought on Thursday night of addressing this is that the multitude of people you talk to today, if you argue with them about doctrine, try to show them the truth, they're going to say, well, we believe the red letters. Well, what you can show them by very specific verses is that they don't believe in the red letters, like I just mentioned a moment ago. They pick and choose what they believe from the red letters. But the teachings of Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, while there are great principles there and there are many things that we should learn from that, that is not the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ. And the gospel that Paul preached is not found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Why? Because it wasn't given to them until, it wasn't given to people until it was given to the Apostle Paul. Now, we talked last week about the peculiar people, and we talked about, if you weren't here last week or you weren't listening over the internet, I would encourage you to go back and listen to that message. I had several comments about it, and what we talked about were primarily the similarities between the church and Israel. Because we have to understand that there are many similarities, because that's what people always bring up to try to dispute right division. And we looked at those and tried to explain those. But in Mark chapter 11, in verse 18, the Bible says, "The scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine." They feared him. You know why? Because he was about to upset their religion. He was a threat to their establishment, that fierce Pharisaical system of the scribes and Pharisees. So we have the doctrine of Jesus Christ, but he also mentions the doctrine of the Pharisees. Look back in Matthew chapter 16. You see, no matter what time you're in history, there's going to be that which is the truth and that which is a counterfeit of the truth. Jesus Christ taught his doctrine. The Pharisees, during the same time, taught their doctrine. Look in Matthew chapter 16, in verse 1. "The Pharisees also, with the Sadducees, came and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it shall be fair weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed, and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason you among yourselves, because you have brought no bread? Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves or the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves or the 400 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how he bade them not aware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." You see, folks, we should never worry about offending people by preaching the truth. Jesus Christ called those Pharisees vipers. He called them wolves in sheep's clothing. False teaching about salvation primarily, particularly, and other things as well, but false teaching about salvation needs to be exposed by the preaching of the truth of the gospel. There was Jesus' doctrine, there was the Pharisee doctrine,
And then over in Acts 2, we have the apostles' doctrine. Look in Acts chapter 2. You know what I found interesting in that article? The man quoted out of John. He quoted out of Luke. He quoted out of James. And he quoted out of Hebrews. Not one verse from our apostle, the apostle of the Gentiles. If you don't rightly divide the word of truth, you're going to be confused about not only your salvation, but everything else in relation to Christianity. How is it people are put under such bondage today? By teaching people from the Bible doctrine that was not applied to them. That is not applied to them. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's in obedience to Luke 24. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now notice what this doctrine included. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and departed them to all men as every man had need. Now, if the baptism is for us today, then the rest of it should be too. Folks, you don't rightly divide between verses. You rightly divide between bodies of truth. We were talking about this. Somebody asked me the other day. He said, well, we talk about law and grace. And they were writing some things down. I said, well, there's other things you can identify. For example, we distinguish between law and grace. But we also distinguish between that which is according to prophecy and that which is according to mystery. And we also, there are many other distinctions that we have. The doctrine, the kingdom doctrine and church doctrine. I mean, you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and compare that with Paul's writings, it's clear to see that the doctrine differs. Take no thought for your life what you're going to eat and drink on. Put on verses. If your man doesn't work, neither should he eat. So there's differences. The apostles' doctrine. They taught that Jesus was the Messiah. We believe Jesus Christ was the Messiah. And you see, as we pointed out last week, when a person believed that, it included several things. As redemption, both groups are redeemed by the blood of Christ, according to what Peter says in 1 Peter. As a matter of fact, there's nobody that's ever been saved that wasn't saved because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He paid for the sins past, present, and future. The sins of the whole world. But notice what Paul says in Acts chapter 13. In Acts 13. Acts 13. Verse 9. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now,
Behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Probably a type of Israel's blindness there. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now I read that because, as Paul says over in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he said, those that consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is evidence that what Paul said and wrote down were the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the 12 messages that we did on TV, and they're still on our website, had to do with the teachings of Jesus Christ today. You see, people talking about the teachings of Christ, and what they always want to do is go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, the teachings of Christ are all the Bible. I mean, all the every word of God. I mean, every word. Jesus Christ Himself was said to be the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's all the Word of God. But we have to distinguish the doctrine. Jesus' doctrine, the Pharisee doctrine, the doctrine of the apostles, and the doctrine committed to the Apostle Paul. And right here in Acts chapter 13, we see one of the main changes that takes place through Paul's ministry. Notice there in Acts 13, 38. He said, "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." John chapter 4 says that salvation is of the Jew. When Paul was saved, the door of salvation was open to all men. One of the great truths of the gospel is not just how that Christ died, but one of the great truths is how that Christ died for our sins. He was prophesied to come and die. But the truth of the gospel committed to Paul is that when he died for all men. And that salvation is provided not by the doctrine preached by Christ, not by Acts 2:38, but by believing the gospel. By trusting Jesus Christ. Notice what Paul says over 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We have the gospel in verses 3 and 4. He says, "I delivered unto you first of all all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain in this present time, or this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, notice, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me, also as of one born out of due time." You can read about that in Acts chapter 9, verses 3 through 9. The Lord appeared to Paul and gave him the revelation of the gospel and the revelation of the mystery. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3, verse 1. "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words." Well then, who received the mystery? Paul did. He says, "In other ages it was not made known, but is now made known." He said, "You've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to Eward. Then the dispensation of the grace of God exists prior to Paul? Absolutely not. Could not have. You want to, if you are talking to people about these truths and about doctrine, you want to be familiar enough with your Bible that you can go to the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and show people that they do not believe and they are not practicing the doctrine of the kingdom. As I said, they might take a verse here and a verse here. They'll use it to teach water baptism. They'll use it to teach tithing. They'll use it to teach all kind of things to put people under bondage. But the gospel of the grace of God is the truth today that makes men free. The doctrine given to and through the Apostle Paul. Look, if you will, in 1 Timothy. First Timothy 6. In 1 Timothy 6, the verse I mentioned just a moment ago, I'll take time to read it. He says in verse 3, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strife of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, it's certain we can carry nothing out." Paul is talking there, obviously, about teachers, but the fact is, back in verse 3, he said, "Those that consent not to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to godliness." There is some godly doctrine today, folks. And it's the doctrine that was given to our apostle, the Apostle Paul. And it's the doctrine that we stand upon and that we show other people and teach other people. And one of the most important things about that is salvation. Because the doctrine of salvation by grace through faith comes through the Apostle Paul. It's no wonder that people are so confused today. The things we read in that article are exactly what is being taught in multitudes of churches across this country. And if it's not water baptism, it's some other work. You know why? Because man desires to glory in his flesh. He wants to do something. Paul said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The most damning and dangerous thing on planet Earth today is the false teaching of a religious system that denies the blood of Jesus Christ as being all sufficient to pay for all of our sins and adds the works to salvation. There's a lot of bad things in this world. There's a lot of bad, Mark was talking about this morning, the things that people get involved in their life, and they call it liberty. And people see that. Well, just because you have liberty to do something doesn't mean you ought to do it or broadcast it to the world. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. But the fact is that we do have liberty. We're free in Christ, and we're made free, and we're not under bondage. And we should not let people put us under bondage. But when we have the opportunity, we ought to be able to take the Word of God and show people by the Word of God how to be saved and the error of their teaching. And you know what? When he said all scriptures give him inspiration of God and is profitable that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Did you know that you don't learn the Word of God through osmosis? By being in the room with somebody else that believes it? You learn it by studying. You learn it by
putting your place in a place to be taught, be instructed. Folks, there's a great need for that. Because there's going to come a time when you're going to be put on the spot to give an account of what you believe and why you believe it. And it's not going to be enough to say, well, I believe it because Brother Steve believes it. You shouldn't believe anything because I believe it. You ought to believe it because you can see it in the Word of God and be able to tell others about it. What I want you to understand this morning is that the reason people are deceived is because what they're being taught is from the Bible. And if they're not shown how to rightly divide the Word of truth, verse Mark used this morning, we use all the time, it is God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Look in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now what's the purpose of all that? Look in verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. If you try to operate your Christian life on the basis of ignorance, it's not going to work. You're not going to be very successful. You've got to base it on the knowledge of the Word of God, sound doctrine, doctrine given through our Apostle Paul, the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ, the doctrine that he calls over there sufficient to equip us to do all the work that we need to do. God is a wonderful God. He didn't leave us to wonder about how we're saved. He didn't leave us to be in confusion. So why is there so much confusion? Because people would rather obey man than God. Their traditions are more important to them than what the Bible says. They come up in a religion and they believe that, and mom and daddy believe that, and they believe that, and their grandparents before them believe that. And a lot of times people are afraid to acknowledge that all of that is wrong, because if they're wrong, we know the end of that. I was teaching a Bible study down in Atlanta years ago. A man was attending that Bible study that had just been saved for a few weeks. He was had been a Roman Catholic all of his life. And he got saved through Brother E.C. Moore's Bible study. And he was in our Bible study there in Atlanta. And as I was teaching, toward the end of the lesson, I noticed that tears were streaming down his cheeks. And I said, man, I've said something to offend him or upset him. And so after we had Bible study, we got coffee and refreshments and so forth. And I went back in there and I sat down beside him. I said, what's the problem? He said, Brother Steve, he said, this is the hardest thing I've ever dealt with. I thought he had some personal problem in his life. And I said, what is it? He said, I know that what you're teaching is truth, because it's straight from the Word of God. He said, but if it is, then my mom and daddy are burning in hell right now. And I said, well, you know what, brother? There's nothing you can do about that. But you should sure do everything in the world to try to present the gospel to those about you so that they won't go to the same place. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation, everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And he said that we are ambassadors for Christ. And you know what? An ambassador is sent out to represent not himself, but the one that sent him. How are you representing the Lord Jesus Christ? How are you representing? What kind of ambassador are you to those about you, to your friends, to your family, to people you work with, people you go to school with. We are ambassadors for Christ. We're His ambassadors. He said, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are His. He said, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Every one of us battle with that thing of doing stuff in the flesh, doing that which is according to the desires of the flesh, or doing that which is according to the Word of God. And it's a constant struggle. And I imagine mine is as great as anybody else's. If I'd done what I wanted to this morning, I'd still be home, drinking coffee. Say, well, you shouldn't say that. You're the preacher. That's the flesh. Flesh is flesh. Paul said, David said when he was faced with Goliath, is there not a cause? Paul said, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Folks, there is a cause. And we ought to stand for this truth and take every opportunity to make it known to those about us. Will they all accept it? No. I'll never forget the day I sat across the table from my mom and dad, Prattville, Alabama. I just learned about how to rightly divide the word of truth. We went down there for a visit one weekend. Stephanie was about 18 months old, 2 years old, maybe 3 years old at the time. I don't remember. But anyway, it was a Saturday afternoon. Never will forget it. And so she took Stephanie back in the bedroom, was going to lay down with her, take a nap. And so my mother said, you want some coffee? And I said, yeah. And so she made a pot of coffee. And we sat down at the kitchen table. I got up and went in the living room and got my Bible off the table there where I'd had it that morning. And I said, I want to share something with y'all. And Betty, I went to it. And I was much too aggressive. I wanted to give them the whole wagon load right there at one time. And so I laid it all out best I could. And I was going just 90 miles an hour, and I was reading the verses about Paul being our apostle and the dispensation of grace, and I'm thinking, this is going to be the greatest thing they've ever heard. And I looked up, and they were looking at me like I had two heads. What in the world have you gotten yourself into? Over the years, I never gave up. I never quit. Every time I was with my dad, almost after my mother passed away and he remarried, every time we'd be together, at some point during the weekend, his wife's going to come in and say, now y'all quit fussing. My dad said, we're not fussing, we're discussing. When he was 82 years old, I went to his house in Mississippi, and I walked in and sat down, and there on his coffee table was a book called Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. Clarence Larkin's book on Rightly Dividing. I may have the title wrong. And I said, Dad, where did you get that book? He said, that's what we're studying in Sunday school. He said, that guy is smart. He never would acknowledge that anything I'd ever told him was the truth. But that didn't matter. He came to understand what I was talking about. And I thank God for that. I did the funeral with his pastor. My dad's funeral, I did it with his pastor 2 years later. And I told him I had understood they were studying Clarence Larkin. He said, yeah. And so when I got back home, I sent him stacks of information. Don't know what he ever did with it. But I know this, he was exposed to it. You see, you can't make people believe anything. But you can be a faithful witness to open your mouth and share the truth of the gospel. And let me just give you one word of advice as we close. And I know we're a little over this morning, but you don't have to come back tonight. Don't argue stuff that... Well, I guess the best thing, what I'm trying to get to is that the people you're talking to most of the time that believe these doctrines I'm talking about, they're probably not saved. Stick with the gospel. Well, I believe you ought to be better. Yeah, but the Bible says Christ died for our sins. The Bible says for by grace are you saved. Paul said Christ sent me not to baptize. Yeah, but I believe you ought to be faithful to your church. Well, but the Bible says Christ died for our sins. Don't back down from the truth of the gospel. I was at one time arguing with men about this when we was building a Bible camp up on Adonina's property. And go up there every night and work and argue and work and argue. And me and Doug take one side, the other two would take the other side. And I finally got home one night and I was just furious. And Mary said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "You know what? I've come to the conclusion. I've been arguing with dead men." That's hard to do. She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I don't believe either one of them are saved." From that point forward, me and Doug, all we ever did was give them the gospel. I hope both of them got saved. You see, folks, one plants, one waters, God gives the increase. Just be faithful. Be faithful. Would you stand with prayer?